Aș vrea să întreb și știu că sunt câțiva dintre noi care știe ce înseamnă cuvântul cepție. Cine știe să ridice mâna? Cepție. Cipție. Săptămâna trecută Cristi, așa am fost și eu ca tine. There's no spelling. Săptămâna trecută a fost ziua la băiatul nostru, împlinit 23 de ani, și soacra mea, bunica lui, este venită din România și o trimis-o pe Rodica, pe soția mea, în cămară să-i aducă cepție. Dar eu am auzit lucrul ăsta și mă gândeam, oare ce-o fi aia? Până la urmă, știți ce-i cepsuia? Tavă. În traducerea bănățeană înseamnă tavă. Dar de ce spun lucrul ăsta? Cumulativ, aici pe prima bancă, ca și frați păstori, sunt peste 100 de ani de teologie, poate și mai bine. And on top of that, I was asked by my beloved friend Mircea to speak in English tonight for you all. So I'm going to do that. But before I do that, I like a volunteer. A volunteer that has a Bible, because I want to read a verse. I want you to read a verse for us tonight. Psalm 27, verse 4. And because we love our younger generation, we want to make sure that we give them enough attention and enough prayer that God will anoint them and they will be the one leading the charge in the future. So Psalm 27, verse 4. Thank you. Now, because most of us, including me, had no idea what cepție is until a few minutes ago, I am pretty sure that the younger generation look at us and look at all these preachers over here, and they are trying to make sense of what he's talking about. So I'm not sure how much of a progress they make, but I want to take a few minutes tonight and specifically talk to them. But before I share three thoughts about this verse, I want to share with you a story that is true. And it happened to a friend of mine, and this young man, and I was younger at some time ago, not that long ago. He went into a drugstore, and he bought 3 boxes of chocolate. And as he was paying, the drugstore owner said, "Why are you buying 3 boxes of chocolate? One box was small, the other one was medium, and the third one was large." And the young man said, "You know what? Tonight I have been invited to my girlfriend for dinner. And I have a plan. I'm going to go to my girlfriend and I'm going to do my best to steal a kiss from her. Now, if she lets me hold her hand, I'm going to give her the small box of chocolate. If she lets me give her a kiss on the cheek, I'm going to give her the medium box. But if she really let me give her the big one, then I'm going to give her the big box of chocolate." No problem there. The time came, and this young man went to this family for dinner. And before they started eating, he said, "Can I pray?" And everybody looked at him and said, "Sure, go ahead and pray." And he prayed earnestly for about 5 long minutes. And at the end of the prayer, the young lady, who now was ecstatic about the prospect of this young man being such a religious person, such a prayer warrior, said, "I didn't know that you are such a great prayer warrior." To which the young man replied, "I didn't know the drug pharmacist was your father either." So, what's the moral of the story? What's the moral of the story? Some say it's good to pray, and that is true. We must pray, and it's good to pray. But beyond the humor of the story, there is something that I'd like to take us just a moment to look at it. I believe that we are all here tonight because we are seeking God's face, just as the verse said. And if you're not in agreement with me, then I want to ask you a question. Why are you here tonight? But, however, I want to believe that us all tonight are here because we want to seek God's face. And I want to take a few minutes and direct our attention at the best way that I figure how to seek God's face. In the midst of everything that goes around us, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of midterms, in the midst of everything that this world throws at us, I found out three easy ways that helps me, first of all, to seek God's face. First of all, I must seek God's face in a very authentic way. Very authentic. Can anybody take a second and describe what authentic is? Real. Coming up.
Original.
Genuine. What does authentic sit in contrast with?
Fake.
Now, let me ask you this, because that was the word I was looking for. Can we seek God's face in a fake way? Yes, we can. And we do it every day. I sometimes am guilty of it. And when I realize that, I have to turn back to the Word of God and figure out what's the value of God's face for me. Not that long ago, I found a penny walking down the street. I thought I put it in my pocket and I went home. And I have a piggy bank home. So every night when I get home, I put my hands in a pocket and whatever change I have in my pocket, I put it in a piggy bank. And once a month or twice a month, when that monkey gets heavy, I realize that I have enough to go get me a Big Mac meal. But now I have to take back from that because, you know, this morning I have a problem with coat. Now it's even worse. I had such a wonderful meal over there. But I got home, I put my hand in the pocket, and I realized that I didn't have my penny. I lost a penny. No big deal. Big deal. I lost a penny. But it wasn't that long ago that somebody gave me $20,000 in cash. And I put it in my pocket, and I went home. And when I got home, instead of putting my right hand in my right pocket where the money was, I put my left hand in my left pocket, and there was nothing in my left pocket. And for a second, I had a heart attack. I thought I lost $20,000. Now, can you come, I mean, just go with me. What's the value? What do you value God's face? Is it worth a penny to you? Or is it worth $20,000? Because based on what you value God's face, that's how you're going to seek. That's how you're going to do your best to find out where is God in my life, in my church, in everything that I am part of. I must seek God's face in a very authentic way. Otherwise, I'm fooling myself and everybody around me. But I can't fool God. So the first thing that I learned when I'm in the midst of everything is, you know, God's face is what I seek. Verse 4 of Psalm 27, in a sense, it's an ABC for me. What I must do to seek to find God's face. If somebody is going to ask you when you're going to go home and realize that the paycheck that you worked so hard is lost, you're going to call in sick tomorrow, you're not going to go to school tomorrow, you're going to call your friends and you're going to tell them, I lost the money that I worked so hard for a whole week. You're going to start tearing your room apart. And if somebody's asking you, what in the world you're doing, you're not going to have time to explain to that fellow, listen, I lost $300 that I worked so hard for. You're going to jump right in and say, listen, I lost my paycheck and I must find it and I must tear this room apart and I'm not going to stop until I find it. Do we do the same when it comes to seeking God's face? Is God's face worth a penny to me? Or it's worth beyond measures of this world? But there is another way to seek God's face that I find in verse 4. Let's seek His face in the midst of the church, the verse says. And I paraphrase over here. You know, there are so many places that I can go and look for God's faces. And I myself find sometimes that I am tired, worn out, cold, hungry. And I feel so comfortable in my recliner, and it's Sunday morning or it's Saturday night and the youth is happening. And I say to myself, you know, I am so comfortable. I'm just going to sit over here in my big fat recliner, turn the TV on and listen to that guy's preach. You know, it's just fine. Or even better, you guys are live and I follow you every now and then. When I have a chance, I turn on and I see each one of you, and I feel like I am right here. Amen. But I also find something very disturbing. The music is going on. The game is going on. The Super Bowl was going on not that long ago. And no matter how hard I try to find God's face in the recliner, somehow my human nature tends to go to the wrong thing every time I try to find God's face. But I must understand that somehow I must find God's face, but somehow I look all in the wrong directions. Finding God's face, the easiest way to find God's face, it's in the midst of the church. Because there are no distractions here. There is no Super Bowl going on over here. There is no honky punky rock music going over here. It's just praise and worship to the one that's worthy of our praise and worship. You want to find God's face? You thirst for it? Find it in an authentic way and find it in the midst of the church. But somebody can say, why church? Church is something that we have built. This building was built by human hands. But I want to take you a step further. Whose concept was it? There may be some architectural drawing somewhere that will tell everybody what's this building, where are the structure walls, the load-bearing walls, so on and so forth. But spiritually, the church was God's plan. And because, spiritually speaking, I am encouraged tonight to find God's face, church is being elevated to a place of honor in my life. I must seek God's face, but I must seek it authentically, and I must seek it in the midst of the church. And one of the last things is, today we had an awesome meal. And I ate until I could not eat no more. And there was not even a point in trying that coat on, because they were going to burst at the seams. But why do we do that? Why do we eat? We eat because, come on, we like it. Yes, and it shows on some of us. Nothing wrong with that picture. Okay? Absolutely nothing wrong with that picture. Why do we eat?
Because it's good.
Amen, brother. Preach it. Why do we eat? To live. Now we are getting closer to the truth. We were hungry. Gain muscle. The gym boy over here is going to be muscle. Yes, all those things are very reasonable things that we eat. We eat because we're hungry. There is a biological clock that God instilled in all of us that say, listen, 12, 14 hours you've worked. Now it's time to eat. You go home and cook yourself a big fat old steak with some mashed potato and some steamed veggies over there. You try to eat healthy as much as possible. I do the same thing. I devour half a gallon of ice cream at times. That's not healthy, but I'm hungry. And it shows my cholesterol is going through the roof every now and then. My wife has to feed me 6 pills every day just to keep it in check. And that's the truth. I eat because I like it. I'm hungry, and the first thing I do, I open the fridge, and there may be a whole turkey roast in there, but the only thing I see is milk and cookies. Now, don't do what I do, okay, because it's not healthy for you. There was a time when I could do all those things, but not anymore. But we eat because there is a need of our physical body to eat. Some of us, my brother-in-law over here, every time I talk to him, he's on a diet. But somehow, he never loses anything. He struggles. And I take pleasure in torturing him with just some Long John donuts with filled with custard cream. And he goes crazy and I die of laughing. I just torture him. Now, what I'm trying to say over here, and I'm going to wrap it up, there is a need that we as human beings have to eat. How can I, and why would I believe that in a spiritual world, my needs can be neglected? I go to church once a week, and I should be okay. I go to a fellowship, to a prayer meeting once a month, or who knows how often, and I should be okay. I don't know why we think like that. Have you tried to eat once a week? No, you must be crazy, brother. What's wrong with you? Eat once a week, come on. We had a feast today. But why do we think spiritually we can survive on just bits and pieces, drops here and there? To seek God's face, it's something that I must do permanently, on a constant basis, every single moment of my life. I must seek God's face. It is my spiritual nutrition. It is something that empowers me to stay alive in the midst of this world. I don't know why we believe that we can survive on just one Sunday service or in front of the TV seeking God's face in the midst of all this other commotion. Brothers, let us not be fools, making fools of ourselves. Let's seek God's face in a very authentic way. Seek it in the midst of the church and seek it on a permanent basis. Amen. Amen.